Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along. And, of course, today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Buffalo Sabres did just wrap up the Prospect Challenge. Their first preseason game is this weekend on Saturday. Josh, let me figure it. Is it again? Oh, it's against Pittsburgh. Is it not? No.
Yes, it is.
It is?
I think. I thought so. That's what I read this morning.
I gotta look this now. It is. Oh no, it's a week from today. It's next Tuesday. It's the 24th against Pittsburgh. I don't know. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, when does the preseason start for the Sabres?
Saturday.
It is Saturday.
I knew it.
I'm looking at this online.
What are you doing?
It's like Tuesday, the 24th.
Yeah, is it they changed though? The time of the Monday game because of the Monday night football game.
That's right.
So it's gonna start at 5 instead of 7.
Okay.
But they're still playing it. So, yeah, they play at home on Saturday and on Monday.
Wow, they play three games in five nights?
Welcome to hockey preseason, baby.
But it's also different guys.
Yeah,
you know, not everybody plays in all of them. So, and they got to kind of get it in now because this is a weird training camp for them. It opens tomorrow. They have three practices, and that's it. Then they have these preseason games, and then next Tuesday it's on a plane to Germany.
Paul, on that, I mean, like, me and Josh were talking about it to open up the show today, too, and we'll get to the Prospect Challenge. Peyton Krebs as well gets his extension, but just to me, it always surprises me how quick the preseason training camp portion of hockey goes. It really does seem like it starts, and before you can even blink, a regular season game is going on. And for the Sabres, that will be true because their first game is in Prague, I think, well before the rest of the season, rest of the NHL begins.
Well, it used to be that they used the preseason to get in shape. It wasn't like it is now where athletes are working out all, you know, 12 months out of the year, maybe take a slight vacation, but basically working out 12 months out of the year. That's not the way it is anymore. It used to be you were out of shape, and as soon as you got to training camp, like tomorrow, they would start scrimmages, and that's it. There'd be no going over systems or anything like that. They would go through a week of scrimmages and just like skate the heck out of them to try to, you know, get them in shape before they actually, you know, start, okay, this is how we're going to play, these are our systems, and that kind of stuff.
Nightmare fuel. Just knowing you're showing up to camp out of shape, 20 pounds out, and you're like, I'm going to puke all over the ice for 3 hours.
And let's just keep scrimmaging.
We're just going to keep going until everyone's
And then when
done.
You're done with the scrimmage, they skate you about as hard as they can.
As someone that can't skate, that is up there as one of my worst nightmares.
As someone that never actually played an organized game of hockey, I would be so terrified of a bag skate. I mean, I don't like the idea of that. But speaking about, you know, preseason and getting everything underway here, Paul, the Prospects Challenge was this past weekend. Yuri Kulik, pretty dominant, 5 goals, 2 assists in 3 games, right? And I mean, that's what you want to see. I mean, he joked about it on the night of the draft. I'm going to make it to the NHL. I have nothing else to do next year. He didn't that year, but he's definitely trending in that direction, and I think this prospects camp is showing that.
Yeah. I remember asking him, do you have a plan B? He goes, no. I'm just going to make the team this year.
That's such a good response, though. I love that. I want him to make it this year, but I mean, what's it looking like? Is he probably the guy to watch?
He's
in this
the only guy that would have a shot. Maybe Hellenius, but Hellenius, as much as I was impressed by an 18-year-old coming in and doing what he did, I'm not sure he's quite ready for the NHL yet. He showed well. You know, I liked what I saw. You know, especially you can tell how he thinks the game. But as far as making the team, I would think Kulik would be the only one who might have an opportunity to do that. I mean, he needed to show up at this tournament and be the best player there. He did that. I mean, he accomplished that. And he showed, he talked about it, but he showed that he is better on battles now. He is stronger. You see him along the wall. He's not getting beat, getting the puck taken off him. He's a little more engaged into back checking. And that's, as Lindy Ruff said in his opening press conference, that's non-negotiable. You know, there are things that as a team you're going to do, and if you don't do them, you're not going to play. It's as simple as that. So, I can see a big difference in that. And I think there is one spot available. I mean, they've got five for their top six. And right now their top six would be Benson, Zucker, or Greenway. It would slide into that spot. But if Kulik, goes into training camp and really plays well like Benson did last year, nobody thought – when day one of training camp, you think anybody thought Benson was going to make the team?
I didn't.
I mean, Kevin Adams and Don Granato didn't think Benson was going to make the team on day one of training camp. But he pushed his way on. So Kulik could do that. I mean, he could have a great camp and wind up taking that spot. But there's no sense him making the team and playing on a line with Malenstein and Lafferty. I mean, there'd be no point in that. So if he's going to make the team, he's got to be one of your top six. And to me, there is one spot available in that top six.
Paul, we'll get to that here in just a second. We did have a caller, though, just call in. And you mentioned there's really only three practices for training camp, but a caller did want to know, is that going to be open to the public or is that closed off?
I do not believe it is, no.
Okay. Now, on the forwards, though, Peyton Krebs. He's kind of been the discussion up to this point now. The offseason has kind of felt wrapped up for the Sabres. He ultimately gets his two-year deal, an average annual value of $1.45 million. Is this sort of just a, we're going to see where this goes, 2 years, kind of figure it out? To me, it does feel like Krebs is sort of that forgotten young piece they have. He sort of felt like the exciting young guy in the Jack Eichel trade. He has good numbers in terms of analytics, statistics not always there. There are times where I wouldn't want to, see him in a dark alley at times during games, and others, he seems to disappear. What are your thoughts so far on Peyton Krebs throughout his Sabres career?
Well, I wouldn't blame him if he's confused. What do you want from him? What are you going to do with him? I mean, is he going to be a checker? Is he going to be a guy who can play in your top six? Is he going to be a two-way guy? It just seems like everything was confusing what they really wanted from him. And, he tried real. I mean, you get the effort from him and that type of thing. But I just think he didn't know, where do I fit in? So that's going to be Lindy Ruff's job. Because as I look at the team right now, he's the 13th forward in my depth chart. Now, Lindy Ruff's depth chart might say something different. But I don't see where he fits in right now, especially if, let's say, Benson winds up on the line with Cousins, and then you have Greenway with McLeod and Zucker, and then you've got Lafferty and Aubé Cabell and Malenstein. And it's like, where do you put him? I just don't have a place for him. But I don't think they, with Lafferty, Malenstein, and Zucker, and Aubé Cabell, they got them to sit. So I would, and especially with what they're expecting and what they want out of a line like that, an energy line like that. But you don't know. We got to go through training camp. Lindy Ruff's the head coach. He may have other ideas. He may want to see, what are we going to see from training camp? We're going to, of course, give him an opportunity to try to fit in somewhere in that top. And who knows with injuries? I mean, how many teams go through training camp and don't get any injuries? So injuries may take care of the conversation. You get somebody hurt, well, Krebs is in the lineup then. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, first Kulik and Krebs, where they fit in. As I said, an outside chance maybe Hellenius could make some noise and make the team. I think with signing that energy, those energy guys, I think that pretty much takes a guy like Rusick out of the equation. You know, he's a two-way guy in Rochester. I wasn't overly impressed when I saw him here last year. In Rochester, I like him, but he doesn't seem to translate into the NHL, at least now yet. Same thing with Roseanne. Kulik did what he was supposed to do. He dominated. Now, you could say Roseanne had 5 assists in 3 games. I didn't think he dominated, to be quite honest with you. I don't think he did what Kulik did. He was fine, but he's got to be one of the guys that you notice. And when he was passing the puck, you might have noticed him, but I didn't notice him really doing much else as far as that. So I was a little bit disappointed. So I don't see him really competing to make the team. So, you know, Kulik is the guy that I would have my eye on starting tomorrow.
What about Noah Osland? You mentioned he didn't have a point in the tournament, but you did walk away somewhat impressed by him?
Extremely. I mean, they don't pick the star, so I picked like 3 stars in the first game. I picked him as the 3rd star, and he didn't have a point. I mean, he had the puck all night. I mean, he and his line with Hellenius and Wahlberg, they were in the zone every time they had the puck, and they never. The other team couldn't get it out. It was Columbus, and they just couldn't get the puck out. And Osland, he's not the biggest thing in the world, but he competes. I mean, he's always in on the battle. He wins the battle. He protects the puck. He finds the puck. And I just, doing play-by-play, I was constantly saying his name with the puck. And he had some good opportunities on some one-timers that he wasn't able to score on. But I was thoroughly impressed, you know, getting a good look at him for kind of the first time. I saw him in Rochester for a game or two in the playoffs, but you know, then he was in the lineup, and then he wasn't after the first couple of games. But I think he's going to be a very good player for Rochester, and I think as he gets a little bit older, I think definitely will be a player for the Buffalo Sabres.
So shifting gears a little bit to training camp itself now, Paul. I mean, I know there's a lot of different storylines coming in here. There weren't big moves in the offseason, but there were a lot of names added. I mean, Sam Lafferty, Beck Malenstein, Abe Cabell, Ryan McLeod in the Jeff Skinner trade, and Jason Zucker. Another name that was added is goaltender James Reimer. What do you think the goaltending room is going to shake out like this year? Is Reimer a let's see what happens, or is he going to be the backup to a Luukkonen?
Well, Levi's got to play. And it's, you know, what does Lindy Ruff have in mind? He played the heck out of Dominic Hasek. He played the heck out of Ryan Miller. And he played the heck out of Kari Lightning in Dallas, who played 59, 59, and 62 games in 3 of the 4 years Lindy Ruff was there. He didn't really have a goalie in Jersey he could do that with. So he didn't do it as much in New Jersey. But Luukkonen played over 50 games last year, and that's when he thrived. Now the question is, because we don't have really anything to go by other than last year, is he going to be as good if he only plays 40? Does he need to play and play and play to keep his edge? Is that what he needs to, or can he do it playing 40 or 45 games and Levi playing the others? But if he gets into the 55-60 game range, I don't think that's enough for Levi at age 22, in which case I would rather see him in Rochester, which then my question would be, is he going to be okay with that? He was okay last year when they sent him down. He embraced it and took a team that was almost out of the playoffs to a tie for first place and really improved his game, because he came up, if you remember, played a couple of games in the middle of that too and was better in Buffalo, you know, in the games he played. So, you know, he showed mass improvement last year too. But If you're going to go with Luukkonen for 55-60 games, I just don't think Levi can be sitting here, and in which case Reimer would be the backup. Now, you know, I'm sure Kevin Adams was honest with Reimer and told him, you know, you we'll see what happens in training camp. So I think he has to know he could wind up in Rochester. I doubt they're going to do this 3 goaltender thing again. That'd be a disaster. It was a disaster last time they did it. And but Reimer hasn't been in the minors since 2010-2011 season. So it's been a while since he's done that, but he chose to come here. So that could mean if Luukkonen and Levi are the two, and Lindy Ruff decides, you know, I'm going to get Levi in there, then Reimer's going to have to start in Rochester. As I said, I just don't think three goaltenders works.
It is going to be very weird, though, with the goaltender situation. Levi, at this time last year, we were all talking about him. He's going to be the starter. Whether people like it or not, he's probably going to be one of the main guys. And now, you know, we're sitting here today, right before training camp starts. The math, again, like with the forwards, doesn't really make sense. You want him to play. It's likely going to have to be in Rochester. It does feel weird, though, Paul, how quickly it has changed. A lot of it, though, due to the exceptional play by Luukkonen himself.
Yeah, it has changed. And it's, you know, as we look back, we have the benefit of being able to look back. It was a mistake. They made a mistake with Levi by basically handing him the job and, you know, thinking. And no college goaltender had ever done what they were trying to have him do in the history of the league. So, but they thought, you know, what they saw, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't necessarily disagree with them, that, you know, he might be the type of guy that be able to handle it, especially with the pressure situation he came into coming out of college, where the Sabres were fighting for the playoffs. And it looked like, he played most of the games, came just right in out of college and played most of the games. So, as it turned out, he couldn't handle it, and he needed some time in the minors, and they finally got him there. And when he got there, that's when you started seeing the improvement in Devin Levi, because he was playing every night.
So another guy that I was looking at here is Matias Samuelsson. He's had a lot of injury troubles over the past few years, but in the time he was healthy for the Sabres, it looked like he was this shutdown defensive defenseman that they hadn't really been able to find lately. And then he gets hurt again. So what does this training camp mean for him, and what's going to be the indicators here on how much he's going to be able to do this season? I mean, you know, that injury last year was really, it was not great, but, you know, will he be able to come back this year and still be effective?
And that's the thing. I mean, he's going to have to find a way to try to eliminate the injuries, and some of them are not his fault. Others, sometimes he has himself in a bad spot and he gets hurt. Some of them you can't avoid, but the fact remains is he can't keep himself on the ice. And when he's healthy and playing, he's an absolute asset to this team. I mean, he is a very good shutdown type of defenseman, leads their penalty kill, and is a guy that is very, very useful. But he's got to be able to be out on the ice and play, and that's what he has to figure out. How can he do that? You know, how can he maybe not get himself in certain situations that open himself up to injury and that type of thing? So it'll be, you know, we can't predict it. We don't know if he's going to be able to injure or not. But if he's healthy, I mean, he's definitely a very good top four defenseman for them.
Paul, last thing from me, and on the Western Hotline is Paul Hamilton. So first we have a new scoreboard, and now apparently we have a new mural in Alumni Plaza. Paul, the Sabres are freaking me out. What are they doing?
Oh, is there a new mural there? I haven't seen that.
Well, we got a tweet. We saw a tweet yesterday circulating around Twitter that they're taking down all of the old pictures. There's nothing going back up yet, and we don't know what it is. But, I mean, that mural's been up there since I was a little kid. I mean, there's Tyler Myers, Max Afanaganov. You have a lot of old names up there. I mean, that's a big change, I think. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of random, don't you think?
Yep. You know who's not going to be up there?
Now I'm nervous.
Yeah, who?
Jack Eichel.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I got nervous. So I'm like, no, it's going to take some time. No, it's Eichel. Okay.
No, all right. But I do wonder what they're going to do with it, though, because, I mean, they could go like a nostalgia route, right? Like, it just updated a little bit, not have it black and white, where they had that whole era of Sabres and traffic with the black and white photos and all that stuff. Like, is it? What do you anticipate? I mean, I know we kind of sprung this on
you. You're out of my league. I have no idea. that's way out of my area of expertise. Murals. That's not my thing. I'd be the one that you would have said to November, "How do you like the new mural?" And I go, Oh, there's a new mural?
There's a new one? What?
Kind of like I just did right now, just because I don't pay attention to that stuff. It's like the goal songs. People bring up the goal songs to me. I'm like, I have no idea.
I am going to miss because I don't pay any attention. Not having High School Musical.
Yeah, when a goal is scored, what do I have to, you know, I got to look at replays, I got to take notes, I got to tweet. The goal song is the last thing on my mind. And I'm like, I have no idea about a goal song. I didn't even know they play them. I just don't pay attention to that stuff at all.
Well, now for your birthday, we're going to get a laminated sheet of all the goal songs, and you can just have it right there where you're sitting. Real quick, you'll have them right there for you. Paul, thank you so much.
I don't have a goal song. Sorry.
Well, we're going to get you one. Ooh. It's going to be ABBA. You know that, though.
We got to get him one now.
You know that. Paul, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. And Paul's reports on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. I'm so serious, though. I'm going to miss We're Soaring when Josh Giddey scores.
I'm going to miss the obscure pick. Who's going to be the new obscure goal song guy? You have to have one.
But it's got to be somebody that's like going to, I don't mean to say it like this, that scores goals.
Well, right, yeah.
Someone that, like, when I see it, I'm like, I need to be, like, at most home games. So yeah. I can, like, maybe hear this.
But, like, I mean, I'm looking at the roster right now, and I'm trying to figure out. I mean, we have a few new wild cards. You don't know what Ryan McLeod's going to do. You don't know what Jason Zucker, Beck Malenstein, yep. Sam Lafferty, Nicholas Abbe-Cabell. Those five guys are all brand new, and you have no idea what they could do in terms of songs. I'm going to go out on a limb. Sam Lafferty's going to pick something funny.
Then you got to score like 25
goals.
Yeah,
for sure. Man. But another one that could, Jack Quinn.
Maybe.
He seems like he could have like a Skinner-esque goal song.
Maybe. They're going to need like a new personality.
They have personalities. That's like the worst Benson part. Zach Benson is up there in terms of, you know, just the fun, goofy guy.
I will miss Jeff Skinner. Like, yeah. I hope he does well in Edmonton this year. I will miss him. A lot of it, though, due to the personality. He has been one of my favorite people on the Sabres because he loved just having fun, joking around.
Personally, whenever it came to the conversation of should Jeff Skinner get traded, what have you, and all
played
that,
into it for me.
The only reason that ever came up was the contract.
Yeah.
And it was never, you know, because, I mean, Skinner still produced up until he left. Granted, it wasn't to the $9 million value, and that's part of the reason why you move off of it. But it was really only ever because of the contract. It was never because of the character. It was never because of the personality. He was a guy that always kept this locker room together. He was fun, you know, did good stuff on and off the ice. And it was just, you know, it's one of those guys where it's like, yeah, you know, you don't like to trade him, but you kind of have to. Right,
that's kind of why I saw it too, and it did not help either that he effectively had just over half of his point production last year compared to 2022-23.
Right,
you know, he's going into his 32-year season. It's a shame, but I think you're right. It just became one of those where you don't want to, you probably have to.
He was the last Sabre on this current team that ever wore a dark blue Sabres jersey, I think.
Oh.
Wait, no, that's not right. I'm just picturing
Tage War. I think,
Tage might have done it for a season. Same with Cousins potentially, and Darlene.
Cousins, I actually don't think did.
I don't know because I'm trying to remember. Obviously, the change was rather recent, but I can't get the image of Skinner, Pominville, and Eichel out of my head, and that's just like all I can think of. And I'm like, none of these guys were on that team, but that team went through many changes before that all broke down, but. Never mind. I take that back. He was definitely not the last one to wear the royal blue or the navy blue, if you want to call it that.
He was one of them, though.
He was one of them. Yeah, there's not many left.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in on the Sabres conversation. Always welcome to talk to them. We also were talking about the Bills' 2-0 start and how legit you believe it is. We'll look for your calls next after a quick timeout. You're listening to Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the Snacktime MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along with Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt. We're taking your calls on the Bills 2-0 start to the season. Is it legit? How do you feel going forward, especially with some of the other teams in the AFC, namely the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens starting 0-2? But we did just get off the phone with Paul Hamilton as the Sabres preseason. I mean, training camp starts tomorrow. The preseason starts Saturday.
Zach, I'm back.
Oh, no.
I'm in.
Oh, no.
They've done it again. I am back.
We were just talking in the break about how, like, I'm up and down about this season. I'm excited because it's hockey, and I always like when it's back.
Yeah, I think a lot of it for me is that it's hockey.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But it's also, I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
And I'm sitting here going, like, I know.
I'm ready.
I know I'm going to be dragged in by the first hype video. I'm going to get goosebumps for, like, the eighth year in a row. I'm going to be like, all right, what's, you know, not season tickets, because I'm already late to that, but what's, like, a ticket pack going to cost? I'll look at the prices. I'll watch the first four games and go, why, God, why? That's what's going to happen.
No, it's not. Things will be different.
Definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
But it's different this time.
Is it?
You,
I will tell you. Look, I'm excited for the games in Prague, especially because
yeah,
they start
gonna be
before
really
the
cool.
rest of the NHL, so you'll get an early look. I am stoked for Lindy Ruff's first game back in Buffalo behind the bench. I legitimately am amped for that. I cannot wait. That is going to be a game where I'm going to fly home so I can watch the whole thing.
I'm
going
to try to get to the game. Like, I'm going to try to be there.
Not a chance. I'm not willing to spend that kind of money, but not a chance. But I'm going to sit there. I'm going to have a good meal for dinner. I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
And they've got to prove it to me, I guess. I'm at that point now. And
oh, yeah.
We were joking before the show even started. You know, like, they're going to start, like, 10-5, and everyone's going to be like, do it in January.
Keep going.
I'm kind of that fan now, I feel like, of just, like,
yeah.
Do it consistently.
Right.
Do it consecutively. Do it over a long period of time. I was there when Jeff Skinner beat San Jose in overtime with my buddy Joe, and it was, apoplectic, where everyone's cheering. Like, we want, like, what was it, 12 at that time? Or we want 10?
That was 10.
That was 10.
So the San Jose game was 10 in a row.
We want 10. Like it was unbelievable. That is my
favorite. The Sabres were in first place in the NHL.
Outside of RJ night, crazy. That is my favorite night I've ever spent in the arena. And, yeah. and I did not spend a lot in my younger years, so please forgive me. But it was RJ night, and it was that. I mean, genuinely goosebumps, loving it, the whole thing. Me and my buddy, we listened to postgame the whole way home. We're talking out of our minds. We're barely listening, but then we would. And then we're talking about that. It was wonderful. And then it tailspinned. And it's happened a lot where they give you glimpses of, whether it's early in the season or late, they give you glimpses of oh, the season is just a firework when they're good.
And I think also I say I'm back, but I'm in the same boat as you. You need to just consistently prove that you can be a consistent hockey team. And that's something that has been lacking for this entire drought is – you can go on a 10-game winning streak, but then you go on a 12-game losing streak. If you go on, out of 10 games, let's say you're 7-3, right?
Yeah.
The next 10, if you're 5-5, that's okay. As long as you get back to the 7-3, it's okay to be an average team. As long as you can have those moments every 10 games where you're winning more than half of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, even 2 years ago when they went on, what, it was like 8-game streak of not even getting a point?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big thing, too.
That was the year that they were one point shy of the playoffs, and let's not forget about Hudson Fashing, the super soccer star, kicking a goal in against the Sabres. But hey, the NHL says you can kick it in now, apparently. So
apparently.
I'm not salty. It's fine.
But I mean, I that's a thing, too, that I hope Lindy Ruff brings to this team is just like the ability to drag games into overtime. Even on a night you're not playing that well. I get it. Right. It's 82 games. I'm not expecting perfection every night.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's so much. It's funny because we're talking about the Bills here having a 2-0 start. And is it realistic and what's going on there? But it's so much different because there's only 15 more games.
Yeah.
And you kind of need this sort of every single game matters. Mm-hmm. Like I remember last year when the Sabres were starting to push or maybe it was 2 years ago, but a bunch of Bills fans were kind of jumping in and they just lost two in a row. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's 82 games in the season. Right. It's okay. It's not, if you lose two games in a row, you're not out of the playoffs I think you talked about the abilities that Lindy Ruff's going to bring. And I think not to sound cheesy here, but the best ability is accountability. And that's something they didn't have at the end with Don Granato, maybe in the beginning, but it was clearly lacking in last season.
Yep.
So that's what I'm hoping for the most.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. We've got David here on the line. David, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Good.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, what is taking them so long to announce the captain? I think we all know it's going to be Dahlin. The season's about to start here. What's the holdup, you think?
I think it might be one of those things where they do announce it like after the preseason is done,
or like
kind of make it at like the end a special announcement
kind of thing.
End of training camp.
I mean, to be fair, the first preseason game's on Saturday, so
might be soon.
That's a little
I do agree though. Like me and you were talking about it in the break. Cause, we can see kind of like what's coming up here on the call screen. We're like, it's Dahlin, right? Like
it's gotta be. Know. I mean, yeah. I feel like with what he's done in the offseason in terms of talking with Lindy Ruff and all that stuff, and just what he's done on the ice over the years. I think it has to be, but there's still an outside chance that I want to say like Alex Tuch or Tage Thompson, right? Like I feel like those two have to be some sort of alternate.
Tuch is the only other guy I would want in there. I don't need Tage to be a captain. His name's never really brought up about it.
I would like him to be an alternate personally. I think he should still be part of that leadership group if you want to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like it's like 90% of me says Dahlin, and like the other 10% you could split between Tuck and Thompson, however you wanted.
Yeah.
But it just feels like it's kind of his thing.
It does, right? Like it's between him and Tuck. I mean, when Tuck got here, that was kind of a big thing too of the leadership. He's a guy from the area, Syracuse, not Buffalo, but from the area. He grew up a fan of the team, and he has come in with a lot of leadership. I don't know. They're a team that I went from, again, at this time last year, I was ecstatic for the young players they had. I thought they had so many young guys that were going to be not future NHL superstars, but guys that like were going to be core pieces of a potential Stanley Cup winning team. Because everyone was ascending at the same time. Everyone looked like they were taking steps together. Now, again, 12 months later, we are in a different spot. And I even equate that, not necessarily Dahlin's ability, but like even Dahlin's captain, I guess. I'm sitting here going like, man, are we sure? I mean, yeah, probably, like 95% sure, but there's that 5%, you know, negative thoughts in my head of like, are we sure though? Same with Tuck, you know, same with Cousins. I mean, Cousins, I would have told you he was going to be the assistant captain for like 10 years at this time last year, just because, again, as I joke, he looked like he was willing to fight a polar bear for his teams or for his teammates most nights. And then there was a period there after he got into a fight where he looked like he didn't really want to do any of that. I don't know. Just like they're a team that, again, it's just the results are going to have to come. Where with the Bills on the opposite side of things, they're a team I trust, relatively so. Yes, there are times I'm not a huge fan of them. But, you know, in terms of them starting 2-0, we haven't really even talked about how seriously we think this is. I think it's pretty legit because I think the team has shown time in and time out. Well, yes, they'll drop a game here or there. They're one of the better regular season teams in football. They very rarely have a period where they lose two or three games in a row, and they oftentimes will win five, six, seven games in a row in a season. They will go on runs. They also play really, really well against good teams. And oftentimes in the regular season, I understand, come out on top. Like, I know people are worried about Baltimore. I'm sitting there just excited for it. They could lose it, sure, but I'm excited for it. They typically go up against good teams and play well. Cincinnati being one of the few they have honest-to-God issues with. And I don't really know if that's going to stick now that they've lost their safety tandem, and you even saw it. I mean, look, they put up their best game against Kansas City. They look like the average Bengals early in the season over the last few years, week one against New England, who looks like a terrible team, even though they're playing hard. I mean, that's really what New England is right now. They're playing hard football. They're going to be a pest, the whole thing.
Are they Steelers light?
Ooh. No, I think Jacoby Brissett's better than Justin Fields.
Oh.
They've scored one touchdown in two games.
Oh, I know that. I'm just I was just
with that being said though, Justin Fields had a throw to George Pickens that was called back. That was truly phenomenal.
To be fair, the offense for the Steelers did look better last game.
I mean, sure.
It's not great, but it's certainly
not
better.
Good.
No.
It's mediocre at best.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're like the same team, except
hell yeah, they are. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the Steelers are the same team that they always are. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. But no, I mean, the Steelers and the Patriots, except the Steelers just won't admit that they're in a rebuild.
I love them so much.
Because the Patriots are very open. Like, yeah, we are in a rebuild. We're working on it. We're going in the right direction. We have our quarterback. We're going to work on it.
We're not going to play
him. The Steelers
are
like, hey, we went and got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Let's go to 8-9 or 9-8.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's get to 9-8 and keep that record alive.
I love them.
We don't need a Super Bowl. We already won one. It's fine.
I love the Steelers so much. Real quick on them. They just refuse to move forward with the times. And Mike Tomlin is such a good head coach. And I will die on that hill. I believe he is an exceptional head coach, that he will will a team that is purely defensive. I mean, like, that's the team. They are defense and, like, a few Justin Fields runs right now. And he is going to will them to like 9-10 wins. And now with the AFC North, having two of the top dogs start 0-2, and Cleveland's 1-1, Pittsburgh, of course, 2-0, they have given themselves a window that when they eventually do play that hard-nosed, ugly Sunday night game against Baltimore, Cincinnati, where they just drag it into the mud, they're going to get a fluky win where everyone on Baltimore, Cincinnati radio is just losing their minds because you lost to a Pittsburgh team that will score at most this year 7 offensive touchdowns, and they lost.
And that's the high end.
That's the high end. And Pittsburgh's just gonna be like, that's what we do, baby. It's what we do. Our fans hate it, and we'll see in the wild card round where we get blown out.
Let's weld.
I love them. I absolutely love them. For all of the ugly reasons like I bring up, it's because it's just like, if they had a quarterback,
right,
you could have a real conversation like them.
Actually, I don't know, because you have George Pickens,
and that's it. You have George
Pickens
and Pat Freiermuth, who didn't even score the touchdown. It was Darnell Washington, NFL combine hero from 2 years ago.
But that's my point: is even if you add a quarterback to that roster, you're not
Because you're fixed. Right. You're right. They have Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator too. You're right.
Oh God. They went from Matt Canada to Arthur Smith.
I love them. I'm so serious.
They
do everything wrong and just keep succeeding. I say it as a joke, but I'm so serious. They have the mandate of heaven. The mandate of heaven is not winning the Super Bowl when you shouldn't. It's being like considered competent when you clearly aren't, and just figuring out ways to win. They should not be 2-0. They shouldn't be. Atlanta last night actually looked okay. Kirk Cousins, I'm really concerned about his health. He can't move.
Well, it's weird because I remember I was watching a few different drives from Atlanta, and there were moments where Cousins just looked calm, cool, and collected.
And they would almost skip a ball.
Right.
That would travel more than 20 yards. It was insane watching him play last
but
night.
But then there was also these moments where it's like, how is he
starting?
Well, yes, but it looked different. It looked better than week one. Let's put it that way.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he went 20 for 29, 241, and two touchdowns. I literally don't know how that stat line came to be.
Right. I mean, because there were times where I would look at the TV and say, what is he doing? And then I'd look back at the next play, and it'd be like, oh, that's
Kirk, it to Darnell that's Mooney Kirk for Cousins. A 40-yard
that's
touchdown.
Great. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so inconsistent with him, but you add in the Achilles injury on top of that, and it's just like, what? How does this work? It's magic.
So
I don't understand.
And then with Denver, I mean,
ugh.
I mean that's the thing, and ultimately that's the thing too with Pittsburgh. It ultimately has been somewhat of a smooth ride to start the two games. Atlanta, not what I think a lot of people were hoping for. Even last night, it was still very questionable on what they are. And then a Denver team where Bo Nix, not the quote of the post game.
No, it was the quote of the week. It was the quote of the week.
No, everything Brian Callahan says about Will Levis, I'm a fan of. Everything he says. Yeah. But like when asked about him throwing a pick, he's like, well, I dropped back
and I threw the ball to the other team.
And just deadpan stare into the ether. No, it was so good.
I don't care what you say. That's the quote of the week.
Brian Callahan, 2 weeks in a run, or 2 weeks in a row, went, it would have been better if we had punted. We would have won the game. And then the second one, he just goes on a run where he's a grown-up. He knows what he's doing. He cost us points, and he knows it.
How much is Brian Callahan regretting
taking the
Cincinnati?
Job? Yeah. Just taking the job in general?
Yeah. Well, no. Just, I mean, he left Cincinnati. He was the guy.
He was
guy.
Good. He was working.
That was the team to beat.
I don't know if he was calling plays, though. I think Zach Taylor was calling plays.
Right, but still, I mean, you're part of the group that's contributing to the success.
Part of the group project.
I mean, not in that
sense.
You
didn't do any work, but you're part of the group project.
No, come on. You can't say that. You could say that about, who could you say that about? Who's a coordinator that is, hey, we got an A, but I wrote my name on the top of the paper.
For years, I don't know how true it is, but for years, everyone was like, Eric Bieniemy, Kansas City. It's Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him. I was really happy when he went to Washington, and outside of Sam Howell deciding to take all of the sacks, they were at least entertaining on offense.
Where is he right now?
I was just about to look that up because I'm like, I know he's obviously not in Washington.
As you looked that up, I looked up Brian Callahan, and one of the news articles,
Dude, the
thumbnail is the sideways angle of Will Levis.
It's so good.
Bowling the ball across the ground.
It's so good. Eric Bieniemy, by the way, in college, he is the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator over at UCLA.
Oh.
UCLA, historic Big Ten team as well, because we have Border Corner and now in college football. Got to take a quick timeout, 803-0550, the number call if you want to join the show. We've got One Bills Live coming up at 12 o'clock. This is WGR. Everyone, quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Looking ahead at the Week 3 NFL schedule, Thursday Night Football, rough this week. New England versus the Jets. The Jets, Josh, we've not touched on them yet. They are 1-1. Easily should have been 0-2 if Will Levis does not just have the most cartoonish turnovers I've ever seen in my life.
I want him to keep going at this point.
I mean, I do
lean
too.
Into it.
I mean, yeah, but like, just know you're going to be benched by week six because your coach is already like losing his mind on the sideline.
Who's their backup?
It's not Malik Willis.
No, because he's starting in Green Bay and he actually won.
Oh, who is their backup quarterback? Oh, man.
I got it here.
Is it?
Guess. I want you to guess. Former Pittsburgh Steeler legend.
Oh, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
They're 2-0 with him starting, aren't they? If Mason Rudolph was the starting quarterback, they're 2-0. They are, aren't they?
Oh, that's... I don't know. Mason Rudolph
I think they are.
Not...
They lose to the Jets 24-17. They were in control of that game.
right,
in control. Mm-hmm. Even if they just get a field goal there, it's 10-0 and the Jets look completely dead in the water. And then with Chicago,
okay,
that offense couldn't do anything. They get a special teams touchdown and the pick six, which, again, cartoonish turnover.
The Chicago game, I'm on board. But the Jets one, I'm not sure.
I'm there.
I think they'd be 1-1.
I'm completely there. They'd be 2-0. I'm completely there.
No.
But the Jets are bad.
Oh, I know.
They are not good.
Right.
Offense.
That's Aaron Rodgers' first win as a New York Jet.
Oh, boy. I think, though.
Which I think is even the funnier part.
Real quick with the Jets. Coaching matters. And that maybe is more obvious than ever in New Orleans with Clint Kubiak as the offense coordinator, how good they have looked and how just basic the Jets have looked with Nathaniel Hackett as OC and even Robert Saleh with his defense and how they just give up runs after runs after runs after runs with his defense. And now they're down Jermaine Johnson. They are in a bad spot. And coming up for the Jets, Patriots obviously on Thursday night, that team is playing hard. That is not going to be an easy game for the Jets at all. Denver should be easy, but then Minnesota looks good. Buffalo, Pittsburgh drags you in the mud. It's going to be – they're not going to be a good team this year, I don't think. Not at all.
It's going to be back and forth wins and losses, I think. Like,
yep.
Just 1-1, 1-1 all the way every 2 weeks.
It's going to be bad. That's going to do it for me and Josh today. We'll be back on from 10 to 12, joined by Mark Long of the AP to talk Jacksonville at 11 o'clock tomorrow. But coming up after a quick timeout, One Bills Live, 3 hours today. This is WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.